recorded an episode in quite a while.
Yeah, how long has it been?
We've had to take a little break because it's been so beautiful here. Not really. I mean, it's been more beautiful than it has been.
Yeah.
I mean, and by beautiful, I mean it's been like more tolerant.
But it's still the worst summer in how many years? What is the number floating around?
Since like the 70s or something like that?
Yeah.
Like the 1870s maybe? I don't know. There was a headline in the American newspaper here, The Grapevine.
Uh-huh.
Did you send this to me?
No, I don't think I did. Was it about when people protested the weather back in the day? No.
They protested the weather?
Yeah, there was a protest. They went down to the Weather Bureau to protest the crap weather.
As though they could flip a switch.
Yeah, I think this was in the 70s. Maybe it was the 60s.
I can appreciate that. That's like a way to like channel your frustration. At least.
Yeah, and I feel that frustration. It has been horrible.
It has been horrible. Wait, what's the show called?
The Raisin at the Hot Dog's
Inn. The Raisin
End.
At the Hot Dog's Inn, you say?
This is episode 11.
Episode 11, okay.
Just FYI.
I literally fell asleep in a pile of unfolded laundry the other night.
Oh, that's pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what the children do to you.
That is what they've done to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would have just done the laundry like all at once. Would have washed, dried it, and folded it, and been done.
And now they're... And now their school year is like they're taking their summer holidays now.
Yeah.
So it's now a good time we're really going to be all at home, all like 100% all the time.
Right. So do you have any plans for that?
No, because our dog just had like major surgery.
Oh, right.
So we can't just like pick up and go someplace.
Right. You got to care for him.
Yeah.
Got to nurse him back to health.
They took so many tumors off of his body.
So it wasn't just the one?
No, it was five.
Oh.
He looks like a Franken-dog right now.
Oh, no.
They shaved him in, like, all these places.
Yeah,
and it's not like LA's finest plastic surgeon has done the work.
Right.
I mean, it was sort of a hack job, to be honest with you.
Oh, no. Poor Garber. Yeah. Is he going to be upset about the scar, I should think? Or no, he's rough and rugged. He can handle it.
Garber? Garber doesn't give a shit. This is the first time in a long time we've recorded on a weekend night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not I mean, it's Friday night.
It's Friday night. Just got paid. Ooh, you know he's dead.
Okay, you way too far, you went way too fast. Slow it down, and then tell me all the steps that happened.
It's Friday night. Uh-huh. The song, uh-huh. It's Friday night, just got paid. It was from the 80s, right? Uh-huh. Like 88?
By?
Johnny Kemp.
Oh, Johnny Kemp.
Johnny Kemp is dead.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Man, time is just marching on.
It does. It marches on, regardless of what the hell we're doing.
Bowie, Prince.
Yeah, he died like a while ago, though.
David Bowie and Prince?
No, Johnny Kemp.
Oh, Johnny Kemp, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not in the same.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Prince.
Definitely not, but yeah. We had that one hit.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I know that this is not happening to you, but we are having lots of friends come visit us now. Mm-hmm. I mean, yours are coming now, any second now, right?
Yeah, on the Wednesday.
On Wednesday, you're going to have a whole group. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a whole group. And have you guys... find out your agenda yet?
The Muffin has.
Okay.
The Muffin is the agendaizer,
right.
The planner.
He's like, he's like your cruise director.
He is. He's our own personal tour guide.
On this crazy ride we call the Love Boat.
Yeah, the Love Boat.
Da, 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 da,
soon we'll be making another one.
The Love Boat.
I don't remember the rest of the words.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that your life here is more Love Boat or more Fantasy Island? If you
I feel like it's more Fantasy Island, because Fantasy Island, it could turn dark real fast.
Oh, real easy.
You know? And you'd be like, oh, man, I thought, what was the, I can only think of the actor's name, not the character.
And I know who you mean. You mean the man who ran
Ricardo Montalban. But what was the character's name?
Know.
Mr.
Tattoo was his name, was the his sidekick's name.
Yes, Mr. Oh, it's so close. Mr. Son of a gun.
Son of a gun.
What's his name? Mr. Rourke.
Oh, Mr. Rourke. That's
I knew it was an R.
But like, yeah, I feel like this is way more Fantasy Island than Love Boat. Because like Love Boat, I feel like started at a low point and always ended high.
Yeah.
Whereas Fantasy Island, I feel like people learned all about life.
A lot of fucking life lessons, man.
Yes.
It's like the Rolling Stones. You don't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
I feel like you really see people's true selves when they come here. It's like watching someone use a super slow internet connection. You're just like, whoa, that's who you are?
Yeah, yeah. But it's also like Fantasy Island just because it's so beautiful in places. Like there's some places that are just so gorgeous and wonderful.
Yeah, there's the promise of fantasy.
Yeah, but then, you know.
It's real.
Yeah.
Mr. Rourke teaches you about life, teaches about love.
He does. He's like, no, it's going to just rain for 3 weeks straight.
You're like, it's monsoon season here on Fantasy Island.
Yeah. Put on your big boy pants, your big girl pants. Here we go. Like, okay, Mr. Rourke.
But I do like, I really do like when the friends come. Because I love being able to be a tourist for a little while. It feels nice. Mm-hmm. Like there's an end to it.
Yeah. Like there's an end to it. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Done.
And then you drop them off at the airport, and it's sort of like, wah, wah, you didn't get on the plane.
No, honestly, I kind of like it when my friends come and, like, do their own thing, and then we, like, meet for
a drink or something.
Yeah. Right? And they tell me about all their adventures.
Yeah. No, I like going on the adventures. Well, that's not true. I do not want to go in the Golden Circle for
the 500th time. Yeah.
Especially because I have to pay for it now.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Also, it's hard to find a parking place at some of these places now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think it'll. I mean, I'm gonna do some of the touristy stuff with my family, just because it's family, you know.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it multiple times. You go hard. You like are like, no, I'm gonna go like spend a day with my buddies, like showing them Iceland.
Yeah, but and when we do that, we try to do some stuff that I haven't done before, so it makes it sort of fun. Mm-hmm. Which it really is fun. We did. When my friends Daniel and Kelly were here, we did some really fun things, even though they had such shitty weather.
Yeah.
The entire time they were here.
It really was.
It really was. We went to go see this thing called the Cave People.
Mm-hmm. I saw the pictures. It looked very interesting.
Yeah, pictures were great. It actually ended up being fantastic. Mm-hmm. I originally was not that jazzed about it.
Really?
No.
You don't hear Cave People and think, well, that sounds interesting. What was going on there?
Well, the thing is they've just started doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is their second season doing it.
Oh, okay.
And, like, people who are starting touristy things now, I feel like a lot of times are just sort of...
Oh, like kind of slipshod, kind of, let's make some fast money.
Let's make some fast money. Like, these tuk-tuks downtown. Have you seen them?
Yeah. I saw them the other day. I was like, well, who the hell has a tuk-tuk in Iceland?
Is it called tuk-tuks?
Tuk-tuk. It's like, you know, in Thailand or something where it's, like, warm.
Well, I saw all these tourists taking pictures of them, and I wanted to be like, sir, these are not from here. These are as new to you as they are to me.
Yeah, and they have to have in their tuk-tuks with these huge, like, rain covers on them, because this is Iceland.
Yeah, it's monsoon season here.
Yeah, I mean, like, in Southeast Asia, if it's monsoon season, it's also warm, so it's all good.
It's a cold, cold, never-ending monsoon season.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now for this summer. It's just, like, cold and rain.
Yeah, but so I wasn't sure whether this Cave People thing was going to be sort of like a quick buck.
Right.
Or whether they were, like, really going to, like, put their all into it.
You had some concerns.
Wow, they really did put their all into it.
They did their homework.
Yeah.
Did their research.
They, like, so this is the story.
Okay.
That people used to live in this
story
cave.
About a man named Jeff. Okay.
His name was. Story, or do you want to sing the Beverly Hillbillies song? Is that where we're
going? Sorry,
doing
just when you said the story thing, it made me think.
Do people tune into this for the Beverly Hillbillies?
They might. How many different TV show tunes have I done? Oh, just the two. Beverly Hillbillies and Love Boat. You may continue with your story of the Cave People. Because the thing is, though, it first made me think of Gilligan's Island, but then for some reason, that left my mind and the Beverly Hillbillies came. I don't know why.
I can't think of the Gilligan Island song.
Just like when you, what did you say? Something about what you said made me think Gilligan's Island. But
wait, what's the Gilligan Island song?
I can't even think of it now.
Three hour tour. Cave People. Yes. So I wasn't sure what I was going to be like. Yes, they really did do their homework. Mm-hmm. They geeked out on the history of this cave.
Okay. So your tale begins in what century?
That's a good question. 18th? Either 18th or 19th century. I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. But shepherds used to use it to, like, bring their flocks up there. And then, like, they'd maybe stay overnight or during the day or, like, it was rainy, which they like stayed in the cave. But then this family moved to the area, and they really wanted to live in the area. No farms were available, so they decided to like build a little home in this cave.
In the cave,
and just wait until something became available.
Go hard.
Yeah, exactly. Cave. These people were like dedicated. Like they wanted to be in Park Slope. Even if
my kids are going to 321, goddammit. Exactly. We're going to live in the studio apartment for a year with five kids.
That's essentially what it was. I mean, it was not an ideal living situation. Because it's basically just like, you know, an indent in a rock. That's all it really was. There was two rooms, like the front room and the back room. The front room was the only room that had light. The back room had no light.
Yeah.
And where they kept a cow back there.
They kept a cow?
Yeah, they kept a cow back there. They kept her back there for like the whole season. And apparently she just went blind every season. And they had to lead her through the house to get back out to the outside world.
But you're going to tell us about another tour that you went on. And they discuss the blindness in the caves on that tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do want to talk about that one as well.
Yeah.
But this one was cool because, like, they didn't have the house was completely gone by the time these people came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they just took a real interest in it because they ended up recreating the apartment. Like, as
the apartment. It just makes it sound like, you know, the apartment. The cave hovel. No, it wasn't a hovel.
I mean, it wasn't a hovel. It was kind of cute inside. And it has, like, a little corrugated iron little thing with, like, you know, flowers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a dining table and some, like, bits of bed and stuff like that. But it was. It was someone's little home in there. Mm-hmm. And, yes, it's recreated really well. And it's really nice. There's not a whole lot to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this little front room and a little back room. But what makes it great are the two people who are running it. Because the stories they've gotten from the people who live there are fascinating. There's supernatural stories.
Yeah, okay.
And there's some, like, harrowing birth stories.
And so how did they get these accounts? Are these, were these, like, documented, like, in journals or something? Or no? Or
there was one family member who was still alive.
Oh, wow.
Who lived there.
Wow.
And I don't remember if he was actually, he was one of the kids from the family. And I don't remember if he was actually born in the cave.
So or he was just telling the stories that he had heard about the family when they lived there. Right. Okay. All right. First-hand, second-ish hand accounts. Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the guy who tells it, we went on the tour with the guy who does it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dressed up in like a period costume.
Mm-hmm.
He had just like a great storytelling voice too. I don't know. Something about it just made the whole thing a lot of fun.
Brought history to life.
To life. And they're also, they're growing potatoes out there, like the people who did, who lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a tent down the bottom of the hill before you walk up to the cave, where you wait, because obviously the group can only be so large. Because it's tiny. And while you're in there, they just have, you get a cup of coffee while you're there. And they have this, like, wedding tent sort of situation down there with tables. And they're kind of decorated with, like, I don't know, just sort of like interesting Icelandic national pride sort of items from bygone eras.
Yeah. So you feel very Icelandic.
Very Icelandic there.
Mm-hmm.
And just like very welcomed in a way that sometimes the more touristy places don't make you feel very welcome.
Mm-hmm. Like more old school hospitality.
Definitely.
Thing.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. There were some lambs romping around.
Aww.
And it's sort of like on the way to other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if you're not going to take the traditional route for the Golden Circle, if you go through Lagerbach or something like that, then it's sort of up there.
Yeah.
Like between Mosul's Bight and the Highlands. Anyway, we'll put it on the map.
Yeah.
Definitely a stop to take. Also, they weren't charging very much for it.
Okay.
I want to say it was like under 2,000 kroner, which may sound like a lot, but it's not for like a tourist experience thing here.
Yeah.
It really isn't. So that's something I think people should go try.
It looked very interesting on your Instagram. Yeah. It's like, who knew about this?
It makes beautiful Instagram photos, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like
with, like, the natural lighting, moss, rock, sheep, period costume.
Little house in the cave.
Little house in the cave. You know that theme song?
I know. I was trying to think of it, and I can't hum it. Do you remember it?
No.
Okay. We'll let it go then. But you guys know what I'm talking about.
Michael Landon.
Little House on the Prairie.
That's right.
Good times. So you recently, when your mom was here, you went on a slightly off-the-beaten-path little day trip.
Yes.
Where'd you guys go?
So we went to the inland area of the West.
The inland area of the West.
Yes. Which is not a super popular area for tourists, which I kind of think it should be, because...
Don't say such things, Jonas.
Why?
Well, because then it's going to become much more touristy.
I mean, it's fine. There's, like, no one bumping around anywhere.
Yeah, the husband and I went into this area a little bit as well.
I just think that, like, there's a lot going on there, and it was... I was really impressed with, like, how cool a lot of the stuff is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of close together, like, some of the... some of the, what do you call it? Like the Golden Circle items are, like the stops in the Golden Circle are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you drive for 20 minutes and then you stop at one. Yeah. You drive for 20 minutes and then you stop
That's
at one.
That's true. Yeah.
It's a little bit like that. Like, is it as impressive as the Golden Circle? Some of the stuff is pretty impressive, actually.
I think it's really nice, actually.
Actually.
Actually. I think it's rather nice.
So the places that we stopped out there.
Mm-hmm.
The big draw for us to go there is we booked a tour at Vidgelmir Lava Cave.
Right.
Which is an absolutely massive lava tunnel.
Yeah.
And that's what our whole sort of day hinged on, because you really got to book a time to go down to see it, to take a guided tour down there.
Mm-hmm. We stumbled upon it kind of accidentally at the end of a day out.
Well, there's sort of... building it up a little bit. Like, they have a little visitor center there now.
With bathrooms.
Oh, yeah, with bathrooms. Which is sometimes hard to come. I mean, the ones that you're supposed to use. Yeah, so it's nice. The guide that we have was pretty good.
Yeah.
He was a geologist, so it was a little dry at some points.
Yeah.
But, like, he sort of warmed up, and he gave us a pretty good tour. The cave itself, though, is just pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you don't necessarily need the guide to be talking to you about every little thing. You can sort of look around and see some really weird Star Trek-looking things.
It has very... It doesn't have... Well, as our tour guide told us, like, there used to be much larger stalactites and stalagmites in there. But Icelanders are like, oh, this would look cool on my mantle. And they carried it on out. And that's why geologists, there's a gate at part of the tunnel. Yeah. That's why they installed the gate, to keep people from just, like, taking shit out of the cave.
Well, what I was really impressed with is that they built this wooden walkway through.
Yeah, that is pretty handy.
I kind of
didn't like that there was a walkway the whole way.
Well, I thought there was going to be a walkway the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get down to the bottom of the first part, then it's sort of flat. You can walk on the cave.
Yeah.
So you feel like you're touching the cave, like, more or less. And you can start, like, put your hands against the walls, and you're like, you really feel like you're coming in contact with the cave.
Mm-hmm.
But then the walkway starts again, where it starts getting rough.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, hello, walkway, my old friend. Glad to see you again.
I kind of like the climbing over the rocks and stuff. I kind of like that.
No, I was not there for that.
Yeah.
Because I had the 4-year-old with me, and she was freaked out enough about, like, going down the cave.
Yeah, that's true.
But the 4-year-old did great.
But it makes it accessible for everybody, which is great.
Exactly. Well, I mean, there are lots of stairs.
Yeah.
So there's lots of stairs, so I don't know if like people have mobility issues can really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it does make it accessible for a lot more people, I think.
Yeah.
So I brought my 4-year-old and my 7-year-old mom came with us, and they're both pretty spry. So
yeah,
everyone had a really fun time down there.
Mm-hmm.
The coolest thing that they have are these things that they call ice mites.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to look like a stalagmite, like the rock formations that stand up.
Right.
But it's made of ice, of course.
Yeah.
And they're just bizarre looking.
Yeah.
It's like this ghosty field of...
like weird... They look a little bit ghostly. Because they're kind of like bulbous.
Yeah.
And like very round. And they just kind of rise up off of the rocks in a weird kind of way.
Yeah, they rise up off the rocks in a weird way. And they also like... they almost look like they're glowing a little bit.
Maybe because they're... especially when you have the helmets with the lamps on it.
Right.
And then you're like looking around and they're just kind of like...
They're also not clear ice. They're sort of like a white, foggy ice, which is kind of cool.
And they're like, because it drips down through the, like it filters through the rock, right?
Right.
And so whatever is in the water.
Well, we went in June, so I kind of thought they'd be melted by now. But the guy down there said that it's 2 degrees in that cave all the time. So the only thing that makes them melt is if there's lots of rainwater and the rainwater will filter through.
Yeah.
And the more like water that touches them.
Yeah, kind of.
Muslim eventually. Yeah. So some of them were melting and kind of have these like weird death looking shapes. But we watched for a long time. It's just like chamber after chamber after chamber. The only part that scared the four-year-old and really made me feel a little bit claustrophobic is there's maybe like, I don't know, what, like 10 meters or something like that. Mm-hmm. We have to crouch down a little bit.
But that's just a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, at the beginning. Like right after you go to the gate.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's pretty large and charged inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the just the normal tour. You can also take the Cave Master tour, which is like a four-hour cave lecture.
Oh, wow.
Where you go like the full, whatever, like kilometer into the cave.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talked to the guy, he was like, yeah, it's more of this. It's just like more of what you're saying.
Oh, okay. So, like, so did you get to the Outlaw Cavern?
Outlaw Cavern?
Yeah.
Like, oh, maybe.
Like there's a section where there's this ledge. Like a high ledge, like above the where the walkway is, and there was an outlaw who lived there for I don't remember how long, but
I don't know if we got that story.
Like lived in the cave, and they found like where he had made a fire. They found like animal bones up there. Yeah,
Astrid did think that maybe we should just live in a cave, though.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was cold in there.
A little cold, a little damp.
Yeah.
Also, the guy kept on talking about how the cave was, like, readjusting for the season. And we were like, what does that
mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
And he was like, oh, parts of the ceiling collapse.
Oh, right. Oh, because I mean, it's everyone's... like, freeze, warm, and then it... Is that what he means?
Right, because the ice is expanding in all the cracks in the ceilings. And when it contracts, it cracks. And when it melts, then the pieces fall down.
Right.
And we heard things falling, but I think they were ice.
Okay.
Anyway. He was like, you probably don't have to worry about it for a couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, good thing you have on the hard hat.
it was a very, very impressive cave. Mm-hmm. It's the most impressive cave that we've seen. There was, and I felt like the prices weren't that expensive either.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $6,500 to go into it. We were in there for like an hour and a half, probably.
Yeah.
And Astrid didn't have to pay for it. Our daughter didn't have to pay for it.
And did you go all the way to the end where they turn off the lights?
Yes.
Yeah.
He told a super scary story.
Oh, we didn't get a super scary story. We just got the lights off.
Well, he kept on talking about people like appearing suddenly. Like he was like, would it be more frightening if someone disappeared from our group or if someone appeared within our group?
Oh, yeah. Somebody did. Yeah. The archer guy did say that. But so there was an actual story. It was just that.
I think. And maybe we might talk about zombies a little bit at the end. I don't know. After a while, I was just like, I should listen to some of my voice. Because the last thing I wanted to do was like freak out when we're like all the way deep inside the cave.
And the lights are off and then she has a freak out. You're like, not good.
Yeah. But no, we made it just fine in the end. So we came up from the cave. We made our appointment at 11 because...
But I wanted to talk about the darkness. You're talking about the cow that would go blind every season.
Oh, yeah.
Because at least our tour guide was saying that if you're in that cave, like... They turn off the lights because there are lights within the cave, like to light your path that come on, like as you move into different sections and turn off after you leave that section.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty impressive that they did that. They have like the whole thing stage lit.
Yeah.
Basically, it makes for awesome photographs, and it's a lot better than someone like walking around with their flashlight.
With a flashlight, yeah. That would be not. Well, I mean, that maybe be a little creepier. Maybe some people like that. But anyway, it's you can see more of that this way.
Yeah.
So they, when you get to the end and they turn off the lights, it's completely dark. Like you're so deep underground and away from the entrance of the cave that it's a darkness that you've never seen in your life.
You literally can't see your hand.
You can't see anything. And if you're in that kind of darkness, like our poor cow, for I forget how long he said, like it doesn't take very long for you to go completely blind, for your eyes to forget like how to work.
We might have done something bad.
What?
Well, I think that we didn't actually get perfect darkness because Astrid had glow-in-the-dark shoes on. Whoops, I guess.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I didn't put that together. I didn't know that was going to happen at the end.
Yeah, we didn't either. But it was really kind of, it freaked our 12-year-old out a little bit. He was like, this is really dark.
Yeah.
Because he's a New York City boy.
Well, it's like you lose orientation a little bit because it's like when a pilot flies into a cloud and then comes out upside down.
Yeah.
Because you start to feel a little shaky, maybe a little vertigo.
Yeah.
You can't really know nothing to go off of.
No information.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you have sound, but.
But visually, you don't have anything.
Yeah. It's a little creepy.
Yeah. I thought maybe there was a sort of animal inside there.
But in the cave?
We didn't see anything, yeah. Bats or owls or birds or something?
Are there bats in Iceland?
I don't know.
I don't know that there are bats in Iceland.
Okay. They're owls. There's some sort of owls.
Yeah, we've seen owls. Lot, though, yeah. Think. But I don't think they would go into the cave. At least not that deep.
Are like rodents? Anyway, there were no animals in the cave. And no signs of animals in the cave. I just thought it was fascinating because I remember going to Carlsbad Cavern in America.
Yeah.
And do you know what is at the very bottom of the cave there?
I don't know. I don't remember. A lake? No. What?
A fried chicken stand. You can go all the way to the bottom of the Carlsbad Cavern and you can eat fried chicken.
How long has it been there? I don't remember
since
that.
Since like the 50s, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Doesn't it seem like an American road trip thing
to
do?
It really does.
Like venture deep into the earth and this natural phenomenon.
And have some fried chicken. But of course, what else are you going to do in the bottom of the cave?
What else are you going to do in the bottom of the cave?
Have some chicken.
Yeah. So that was our compare and contrast moment.
America, Iceland. Mm-hmm. Chicken, pitch black.
I think I was hungry because our tour was at 11.
Okay.
I was down in the cave for an hour and a half.
Yeah, you come out hungry.
Hunger strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Had there been fried chicken?
You would have partaken.
At the cave, I think I might have had some fried chicken. I'll be honest. So once you're out there in that part of the war, in that part of Iceland,
mm-hmm.
there's not a whole lot of choice about like where you get a bite for lunch.
There's really not.
We've been to Húsafell before, which acts as sort of like a base station for this tour, if you go by bus, and also
for the glacier tours.
The glacier tour into the glacier, which is another tour you can do up there.
Yeah.
It's crazy expensive to go do that one.
Yeah, we did not do that one.
If you have the cash, I mean, why not?
Yeah, we just took Rosie. That's what we did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we just drove up ourselves. There's no reason why you can't drive up, especially like in summer or fall.
Yeah.
But if you go to Húsafell, they have like a bistro there, and it's the kind of place where they're like, oh, come in, help yourselves. And then they slap you with like a huge price at the end.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing there is like a hot dog stand next to it, which is fine if you like hot dogs, but yeah, that's all that they have there. But we found another place to go get lunch.
I see the sparkle in your eyes, the delight. You found some good food. What did you find?
It's called Brewerhaus. And it is like a little community center up there.
Oh, okay.
And it's built in this sort of like weird 1960s egg-shaped building with like a turf roof on it.
Egg-shaped with a turf roof. I'm trying
but
to
figure out
how it
works.
But it
also
looks
like a wedge somehow. It's like an oval inside, but it has like a wedge roof on top. The whole thing is like very 1960s.
Yes.
It's very cool.
Uh-huh.
Reinforced concrete, you know, galore. But it has these like panoramic windows that are inside too, which... it was actually really beautiful. There was like, you know, lupin all around us.
Mm-hmm.
And the food was really good. And not that expensive.
And lupin is?
Lupin, you know, it's like a blue bonnet. It's like a gigantic blue bonnet.
Yes. I don't know that our listeners know. That's why I was asking you to explain.
Oh, I think there's lupin in America.
Yeah.
Like in Alaska, I think this lupin that's here is the same lupin that was in Alaska, and they brought it here to like fight soil erosion. Big, beautiful purple, comical
blue bonnet, blue bonnety type flowers.
Yeah, blue bonnety type, but like massive.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're just completely taken over because they're not local.
Yeah,
and they're just like they're an American plant, so they're like
they're invasive but beautiful.
That's right, just like Americans themselves.
Invasive but beautiful.
Yeah, so this was a great place to stop and get lunch. They had local beers there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really appreciated is that the people who were working there like helped us plan out the rest of our day.
Oh, that's cool.
That really made it great because we went out there for the cave and we're like, okay, we'll get
what
lunch someplace.
What else are we
going to
do?
Yeah, what else are we going to do? So we got to do this and we got to do this and of course you got to do this. So they sent us to Hraunfossar.
Oh, which is so nice.
The long lava field waterfalls.
Mm-hmm.
Also Vatnafoss, which is right next to it.
Yep.
And then they also sent us to a goat farm out there.
See, we missed the goat farm.
The goat farm is really fucking cool.
I don't know if Snore knew about the goat farm.
The goat lady.
The goat lady.
I like her a lot. I felt...
Is she like the log lady? No. What did she... Is
no, she's not like the log. Johanna is not like anyone at all.
Okay.
She is a precious, amazing, powerful Icelandic goat lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like reviving the flock single-handedly.
All right, okay. She's all about the goats.
This is like, it's called Hauafat, is the goat farm.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the goat farm in Iceland.
Okay.
There are other goats on farms in Iceland.
But this is exclusively goat.
I don't know if it's exclusive, but they do have an enormous flock of goats. Is that what you call them? Herd.
Herd of goats? A herd of goats. I think it's a herd. Right? Well, flock of... Do you say flock? Herd of sheep.
A flock of sheep. A herd of sheep.
Herd of sheep. Flock is birds, right?
Yeah. You can say flock of sheep, though, too.
You can.
I think. I will. Flock. There. Now we've done it.
It's a goat farm.
It's a goat farm. And,
is it the goat of goat farms?
I understand your joke.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Greatest of all time.
I want to, but I don't get it.
Greatest of all time. G-O-A-T. Greatest of all time. Goat.
Oh. Is it like a thing that people say? G-O-A-T. Goat?
They say goat. Yeah. Like Serena Williams.
Sorry about
that. Goat. Greatest of all time.
Okay. Thanks for this teaching moment. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it.
Because it's, you know, goat farm, that's what made me think of it.
Yeah,
and you said that she is like...
Something special.
Mm-hmm.
She's a powerhouse.
So what began her interest in goats? Did she grow up on a farm? Did you get her story?
I forgot to ask that. But thank you for bringing up that deficit.
I'm just wondering why you seem to think that she had a whole lot of something. What was it about her?
I just feel like sometimes when you talk to an Icelandic farmer, they're just like, yep, I run a farm.
Yeah.
And she is just like, let me tell you everything about these goats. They're amazing. This one's name is, you know, like Speckles, and she likes bubblegum and Mondays. You know what I mean? Like,
are any of her goats fainting goats?
No, none of them are fainting goats.
Oh, okay.
But she does have, I guess it's really rare to have unhorned goats now.
Yeah.
There's a name for that. I don't know. There's like a farm name for like when a goat doesn't have a horn. But
unhorned goats.
Yeah. So she has billy goats and nanny goats and kids, which apparently are what baby goats are called.
You knew that, though.
Well, I did, because I looked it up on Google before we got to the goat farm.
You know before then that, I'm sure.
Well, I remember billy. I didn't remember nanny.
Yeah, you do.
And kid, I had to sort of, I think I had to get a refresher. Anyway, she milks them, so she has all these goat milk products there, which...
Goat cheese?
Yeah, she has goat cheese in Iceland. Mm-hmm. And she has... she has all these like skincare products that she makes herself. She makes soap
from goat milk.
Yeah, from goat's milk.
Wow.
She has feta cheese, and I mean like authentic goat's milk. Oh, feta cheese, not because you can get feta cheese at the store here, but it's cow's milk.
Yeah,
and it's kind of mushy. Her goat's milk cheese is really good. It's really very good.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just doing it, you know?
She's dedicated. She's found
super
her passion.
Dedicated. I don't know if it's like she's trying to profit yet or not, but like just hearing like how she's keeping this breed of goat alive. Mm-hmm. And I mean, these are the goats that they brought with them when they settled Iceland. These are like 1,000 years of solitude goats.
1,000 years of solitude.
These goats. Guys have not.
Shout out to our boy, Gabriel Garcia Marquez. 1,000 years of sheep.
Not goats.
Sorry. It's Iceland. Sheep pops to mind. But that's all right, because Johanna's on the goat train.
That's right.
She's bringing the goats back.
And her son-in-law, Mumi, was there too, just like selling the goat.
Don't call it a comeback. They've been here for years.
They're not coming back from it. Well, actually, they're coming back from like very long hours. They're like recovering. Oh, yeah, my nostrils. That's obnoxious noise. I'm like, my nose is up.
We promise you're not a coke addict.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. I'm just crying. I'm not a coke addict.
I'm afraid of
the goats. but she like tells you about the products and can do like a cheese tasting. But you can bet you, you can better believe it, that Johanna sells you hard on some sheets, on some goat product, like before you leave the building.
Yeah, I'm sure. She's so, like, I gotta pay the bills.
Come off, I'm like, how many can I put you down for?
You would think she's American.
But it's pretty great. Like, if you do buy something, that you're supporting something that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And we went out and played with the goats, and the goats love to be played with.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember goats.
Do they like hop around?
They frolic.
They boopity 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 boop.
Boopity boop.
Did they headbutt you?
No, they didn't butt us, and they didn't like gnaw at us.
Huh.
Which has been my experience with goats before.
Right.
No, these goats were like very well behaved. I don't know what Johanna does to them when we're not around, but they were very well behaved.
No headbutting and no gnawing.
No.
Huh.
No gnawing. They didn't bite at things.
That's very un-American of them.
We could just like pick up one of the kids and just like stroke them and just like love them. And they smelled not horrible. I mean, like an animal, yes. But they didn't smell that bad.
It didn't smell that
bad. The whole farm is really beautiful, too.
What's the name of the farm? Do you have that information?
And it's really close to the lava cave. Mm-hmm. And first we got lunch. But what else?
Perfect.
Yeah.
So you see the cave, the beautiful waterfalls, which we didn't talk about very much. It's hard to describe.
They are very hard to describe. And there are another waterfall just like Gullfoss. They're very difficult to photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can photograph a segment of these.
That's why I took video when we went, because I was like, there's no way to get a good photo.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe a panorama or something? I feel like even then you can't, because you have to like walk along and sort of get the whole
impact. Yeah, because it's like a lava field.
Yeah.
And there's a
Mediterranean lava field.
Yeah. And then it's like this little...
It's glacial water that trickles down through this lava field.
There's like a canyon almost. It's very small-ish canyon. So all this water comes like through the lava field, trickle, trickle, trickle. And then at the end of the lava field, it just like falls. Like,
yeah, there's like a sheer rock face at the end of the lava field.
And then it's just like, but it's like for, I don't know how long that is. But there's just like water trickling for however many kilometers.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful.
Nature. It's really gorgeous.
So fucking... I am buying the salad dressing that advertisement is selling,
mm-hmm.
because that is beauty right there.
It is.
And it's just so large, mm-hmm. dude. And the water that's like in the river down there, I don't remember what the river's called, by the way. Fito? Foso? I don't remember.
It's on the Instagram somewhere.
Yeah, look it up.
Let me see.
No, I'm just saying that like people can.
Oh, they can look it up. I was like, I can look it up because it's on my thing.
But the water is so blue.
Yeah.
It's unnaturally blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful. And then when you go back a little bit, like you can like walk all around that area. They have like mm-hmm. really nice hiking paths there and informational signs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they have like a stone arch or fallen stone arch.
Yeah.
From where these kids went and crossed mm-hmm. it and fell in and they died. And then the mother was furious and she had the stone arch torn down.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's called Bokmafos or the children's waterfall.
Yeah.
Maybe a true story, but maybe not.
Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know.
But there's like that fall and then like a more waterfall-y waterfall that's more traditional waterfall.
Right. Not like these like lava waterfalls.
Yeah.
Which are pretty cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty unusual.
Yeah. I don't like, know. Really does it exist anywhere else in Iceland? Have you seen that before?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything like it in Iceland. I mean, Gullfoss is really something because it's just so big and powerful.
Yeah.
But this is one that I don't think I've seen anything to compare it to.
Yeah. Something you have to see for yourself, folks.
They also have bathrooms there. Pay bathrooms, but whatever. Yeah. And they have like a little restaurant there. We didn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it would be as good as basically like that. I kind of doubt it. It seems like a little bit touristy. The community center, I was just so proud of them for like doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a community center.
Yeah.
They had a beautiful oil painting of a men's choir in the back.
Oh, and you love a men's choir, don't you?
I love a men's choir, but it was the moment that they, like, they captured their mouths, because mm-hmm. everyone in the picture is going, oh! Mm-hmm. So it looks like someone did something just shocking, mm-hmm. and all these guys just
scandalized!
Exactly.
They're all clutching their pearls.
All clutching their pearls. So, waterfall, goat farm.
Mm-hmm. Cave.
Cave. Brew what else for lunch.
Yep.
Delta Tungulquist.
Okay.
Which is the hot spring,
mm-hmm.
but it's not an erupting hot spring like geyser.
Right. Yep.
Or Strohkur. Mm-hmm. It's just like a constantly churning out hot spring.
Yep.
But it's got like a big hot spring area around it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now they've built this like little guest center next to it,
mm-hmm.
which is obnoxiously like black obsidian.
Oh.
They have like a bistro inside it, mm-hmm. and you can bathe in the geothermal water there now.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. They've like, but they put it into like a nice pool, a man-made pool.
All right,
it's very expensive.
Oh,
the whole thing was very expensive. We were gonna go. Astrid was on a mission for cake at that point. It was late in the day, and we were gonna go sit at a table and get a slice of cake, but it was like 1,900 kroner for a slice of cake.
What?
So we were just like, forget it. We came in and we were like, we just want to get her some cake. And I saw the whole staff go, you know, sort of like.
I don't know if you want to pay for this cake.
Yeah, you can go back there. Why don't you go take a look at the price?
Wow. If even the staff was like, I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
But what's nice is that you don't have to go to this place. It's sort of off the off the path a little bit. You can just go right to the hot springs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the most powerful, but they put out the largest amount of water of any hot spring in Europe, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And it provides the entire area there with
I think springs. They do market it as the most powerful.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, though, like it's a very stinky,
very
yes, eggy
very smelly.
It's kind of hard to see it because there's so much
steam. You're
so
like, I guess
there,
it's in
like,
there.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there. Like I'm smelling it. I'm like standing. If it's a cold day, though, one of my favorite things to do is just like stand in the steam.
Yeah,
it feels so good.
Yeah, it does.
So we went there, and the last place we went was Rekord, which is which is a big farm, and it was also like the southern bishopric, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
For the Church of Iceland.
But the most important thing is that it was the home of
Snorri Sturluson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who is the only person who's ever named that Bishop of Iceland. Oh, wait, except also
my
muffin.
Yeah. Yes.
So Snorri was like a very important person in history. He like wrote the prose Edda and was an important historian.
Yeah. He put pen to paper, document all this stuff. So now we have it.
And they have like a little exhibition there about him and about Rekord, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
They do a really nice job with the exhibition. It costs to go in. I don't remember how much it is. It's not that much. And they have an old church there. And one of the coolest things they have there is his pool.
His pool and the tunnel.
Yeah, and this weird tunnel that like led from the old homestead there to the pool. The homesteads are just ruins now.
Yeah.
But
and you can't go into that tunnel, right? It's like blocked off.
You can go into like the first 10 feet of it.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
We didn't go into the tunnel.
You can also walk on top of it because it's like it's a turf roof that just becomes like a hill.
Right.
The whole like center there is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a fun place to walk around. As long as you keep your expectations low.
Yeah.
Like that's one of those places that I wouldn't actually read too much about it.
Yeah.
Because you might read and be like, well, I don't get it. So what?
Yeah. It's not just about the spectacle. It's about the history of it.
I just like it because it's a fun place to explore. There's all these little historic sites.
Mm-hmm.
And you can walk among them all. And you just sort of jump from one to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And there's maps there that mark everything.
Right.
But if you go visit these little things, you can sort of get an idea of what it was like to be on a medieval farm.
Mm-hmm.
And just like what a big, important place this was for instance.
Right.
It's the counterpoint to Skalholt, which is sometimes a stop.
On the Golden Circle?
On the Golden Circle, I think.
Yeah.
And that was like the northern bishop, and this was the southern bishop at Rekold. I might
possibly.
Possibly.
Google it.
And also, I think that like 10 years ago, they came under fire because I guess there used to be a cafe there.
Mm-hmm.
And they apparently sold like the most expensive slice of cake.
Oh, more than the other cake, huh?
More than the other cake. Well, that place didn't exist 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But, they ran a story about it, just about how, like, how greedy some people were getting. Because tourists would go there, and they'd just want to pay.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't ask for the price. And they'd end up paying, like, $25 for a slice.
Got them on balls.
Got them on balls. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
So, did you go into the tunnel and pretend that you were Snorri Sturluson running for your life, about
Absolutely.
To be beheaded? Did you?
That's right. Right into the pool.
Yep.
Unfortunately, you can't get into the pool.
You can't. There's a sign. Then don't get into the pool.
People throw coins in there, though.
They do. People do weird shit.
Yeah, but there's no sign that says don't throw coins in there.
Well, why would you throw coins in there?
Well, this is the thing. That's what I was thinking. And I turned around, and my mom, my 4-year-old, was like, here, throw these. No, not reaching in. But she was like, here, throw these coins into the pool. It's what people do here. And I was like, well, all right. You know, like, it's not going to hurt. There's no sign there that says don't do it.
Yeah, it's true. But why?
Because
why do people do that?
It's like a natural reaction, like it's a wishing well situation.
Yeah, it's not a well, though. Or maybe they're offering, it's an offering to the spirit of Snorri Sturluson.
Have you ever been to North Park? The Dallas?
No.
The shopping center?
Oh, North Park? No,
yeah.
I've been to the Galleria.
Okay, well, North Park is like the one that like, still exists. And they have like a little water feature in the middle of one of it.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of like one of the plazas or whatever.
Yeah.
Outside of one of their anchor department stores.
Right.
Full of change.
Yeah. But I mean,
full
isn't that like
change.
Every shopping mall in America? Like it has the little plaza with the water, with the fountain.
That people throw money into.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a well.
Yeah.
It's just like some people, this is
yeah, but those
this
are fountains, right? People do that at fountains.
Yeah, I guess it's a fountain. Yeah.
I'm saying, is it just a hot tub? This was a man's hot tub.
This was just a man's
hot tub. This was just a man's hot tub. And you're throwing loose change in it.
A little strange.
Humans. Also, why do people put locks on, bridges?
Oh, yeah. I like that tradition, though.
Yeah, but it destroys the bridge.
Oh, does it?
Lock upon lock upon lock upon lock. A metal lock.
Yeah.
And then it wears on the bridge. Somebody has to go through.
And cut those locks off.
Take all those damn locks off. Because it destroys the bridge. You can't handle all that.
Yeah.
After a while. But humans, that's what we do.
Yeah. Destroy stuff.
We put locks on bridges and fill bodies of water with coins. Because why not? Because our love and my wishes. And now, Hidden Gems with Jonas Moody.
Hello. Hello, welcome to Hidden Gems.
My name is Jonas Moody.
One of the things that we did was we went to Soccer Hosted, Culture House.
Yeah.
I've never been there before.
I haven't either. I pass there all the gosh darn time.
I do too. It's a beautiful building.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a great collection in there. Mm-hmm. It's the sister museum to the National Museum,
mm-hmm.
which is larger in charge. Has what they think is all the good stuff.
Yeah.
But really, the Culture House has just, I don't know, they just have like a collection of art and like ephemera.
Ephemera, I like that.
Like paper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Old advertisements and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The interesting is like how they've curated it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember exactly how they curated it. But I remember thinking, that's interesting. That's an interesting way to do it. One of them is just about like looking up. One of them is looking down. One was looking back. And one was looking forward. I think.
Huh.
Like there was a whole.
Like in time or like physically?
No, like in all manners that you could think of for those words. You know, like they'll take like the idea of looking down and they'll give you like 10 different interpretations of that.
Huh.
We went at 2:00
mm-hmm.
and there happened to be a guided tour at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a local artist. She was young. And it was her interpretation
mm-hmm.
of the exhibition. And it was fascinating. She sang for us at one point.
Wow.
She pointed out some highlights in the collections and just really, I was so amazed.
Mm-hmm.
There's like this one woman who does these little miniatures of what it's like to see a landscape from an airplane.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That was part of like looking down.
Looking down, yeah.
And then there's another little exhibition with like 5 different renderings of what it looks like to look at Mount Messier from Reykjavik.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all rendered in different sort of oil paintings, basically.
Is one of them just like completely gray? Because I've seen that view.
You've seen that one before where you don't actually see the mountain
at all? Yeah,
yeah. the house itself is really beautiful. It was built at the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm. Turn of the?
Of the 19th to the 20th century.
Okay.
Now. So it's a really decorative, or like Nordic decorative. I don't know, the whole thing is just mm-hmm. a really beautiful building. They don't have a lot of space to show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they really, I mean, curating is the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done such a good job. And I love the tour that we went on. The woman who did it was just so interesting and excited to talk to us about it.
That's what you look for. Yeah. Like a park ranger. Park rangers are always like so passionate about their shit.
Yeah, aren't they?
And it makes you really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it's contagious, their enthusiasm, their love for whatever they're talking about. And you're like, oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, she was like a park ranger
mm-hmm.
in all black, of course, because she was very chic.
Because she's an artiste.
So we went there, and then they also have a great, as you know, they have a great cafe, one of my favorites in all of Reykjavik.
You did share it with me the other day. It was very nice.
It's like my little secret place,
mm-hmm.
Julia and Julia.
Super cute.
It feels like going back in time.
It does.
Like the Inner Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They play like big band music.
Yeah.
And she makes the best pastries and cakes in the entire city.
Really, really good.
She doesn't make a whole bunch of them. She just makes a couple of things every morning.
But that's how you want to do it. You want to make something and make it well.
And make it really well. She does toast soldiers there. She's got croissants. Oh man, she just really does a good job. Really does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And she will also give you a picnic basket. Everything up,
mm-hmm.
and you can take it out to the alcohol, which is right next door to the big hill.
Picnic basket and a blanket.
Yeah, a blanket.
And go have a little picnic, and then bring the blanket
bring
back when you're done.
Back before 5. That's all you got to do. That's in the clothes. I think we talked about this before, but I like the sculpture garden
mm-hmm.
that's behind the Anna Bjornstrom Sculpture Museum,
mm-hmm.
which I think people don't realize is open to the public.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like the sculpture that I'm
mm-hmm.
I like taking the dog back there. I like taking the kid back there.
This is a really hidden gem. It's just someplace I decided to go back to because I'd seen it before. But in Grandi, there's this little cafe called Kumiko. Oh, no, that's not the name of it. It's something, something Kumiko.
Okay.
What's the full name?
I don't know. Look it up there.
But it's a little tea house. And it's kind of Japanese anime manga?
I don't know.
I never know how to say it. Is it manga or manga? Probably manga. It's kind of themed that kind of way. Like, this is a big mural of Kumiko, and I'm not sure if she's a character from
right.
something.
Right.
But it's very, she's pink, and she has big eyes and pink hair. And they have all these really super cute desserts, and they serve a nice cup of tea.
Oh, do they, really?
Like,
well, I know you know tea.
I know tea. I had a jasmine ball tea there, and it was very nice. It was served beautifully.
Wait, a ball tea? Like a bubble tea?
Ball. Like, the jasmine flower is, like, in a ball.
Oh, wow.
And they put it in the hot water, and the ball opens up. Bling!
Oh, my God. It's beautiful.
It's delicious, too.
It looks really tiny in there and very colorful. It
yeah.
It looks like a little, isn't it like a little French?
It is. Because there is, you know, those who are into the anime and the manga, there is a little bit of a, like, European thing going on. Like,
yeah.
they tend to... Like, in, if you've ever seen Bleach, no?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there can be kind of, like, European design themes. Like, old European. Not
right.
Like, very 17th, 18th century.
Right. Tea and cucumber sandwiches and fish
yes,
paste.
Exactly. Just like that. So it's a little bit a combination of that and an anime.
Huh.
The decor.
It's out there. I mean, Grandi is going to be a cool neighborhood. But there's like a cluster of shops and stores
mm-hmm.
in the beginning.
It's like at the end of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to go all the way out. But now, I mean, now that there's the new food hall out there, I feel
mm-hmm.
like it's sort of bridging. It's getting people to go like even further out on
Grandi
mm-hmm. now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go, so there's like the first cluster of shops, like the Maritime Museum
mm-hmm.
and Cuckoo's Nest and all that stuff is right there. If you keep on going, there's the, on the right-hand side, there's the food hall.
Yeah.
If you keep on going further, then Kumiko is there.
Yeah.
If you keep on going further, then that's where Marshall House is, the big,
mm-hmm.
the new art collective.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too far from Marshall House.
Yeah, it's sort of across the street.
Yeah.
A little further.
Yeah.
It's Marshall House.
Yeah, and it's not super tiny inside. Like, there's,
so
it's cute.
Here they just call it Kumiko.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
So Kumiko.
But do you know what that means, Kumiko?
I have no idea. The Google knows. Something cute. Ko means beautiful, right? So Kumi, I don't know what Kumi is.
Do you feel like that plays like a role into it? Like, it looked like some of the desserts were like very like precious.
So fucking super cute.
Yeah.
It is very kawaii. You're just like, oh my God, I'm going to punch somebody in the face, the cuteness. Because they're like little, if you get tea there... like they have a little tier, like the little tier platter thingy that usually has scones or cucumber sandwiches
uh-huh.
on it. But instead it has these tiny, cute little desserts all over it.
I love that.
Like these little pastries that are just like, oh, little cute little. Like it's going to make winky faces at you.
Oh, I can't wait to go out and try that.
It's very cute.
I bet a 4-year-old would have a great time there. What else have you been to on Grandi?
We did check out the food hall. Surprisingly tiny.
I thought like it was big.
Really?
Yeah, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 7 places to get food.
Yeah.
And then upstairs there's a bench one.
Yeah. It just, I was
you
just,
thought it was small?
I was just surprised.
I feel like there's more places to get food there than there is at Klemmer.
Really? I haven't actually been inside Klemmer, so I don't know.
What?
No. I always pass it. I'm like, oh, there it is.
It's right around the corner from us.
It really is.
We should go sometime just so we can get something.
Just so I can say I've been inside.
Because
yeah. If I was like, oh, did you? I'm like, nope.
A lot of it's closed during the day, which I don't understand.
So it's for people who go out to party?
The thing I like about both those places is that there are tourists and Icelanders there.
Mm-hmm.
it's not like a touristy place. It's not a local place. It's something that's kind of draws all crowds. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Yeah.
So did you like what you got there? Were you able to find something that you liked?
No.
Really? What?
That's when we ended up going to Kumiko. Because we were just like, eh.
Oh, okay.
We walked around it.
And nothing
like,
that
all
spoke
right.
to you?
Nah. I mean, maybe it's because we aren't meat eaters.
My friend Daniel and Kelly went. They're not meat eaters.
What did they have?
Kelly will eat fish, though, I think.
Mm.
Daniel had the veggie burger from the burger truck.
Oh, okay.
I think he liked it quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely liked the fries because I think he got two portions of fries.
Mm. I did like that in the entrance, they had like a little nod to its former life.
Yeah.
Had hanging on hooks like these white jackets and white boots, like rubber boots for, you know, like the people who worked in
fish processing. Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, like they were embracing the
mm-hmm.
provenance
mm-hmm.
of the building. Mm-hmm. So Kumiko, the food hall, what else is down there? Buddha, which I've talked about all the time, is the best cheese stop in this one. It's amazing. Matar Dreko, which is, I've never been there, but the chef's just really young.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this place that my friends constantly called Cafe Vagina. Because
Cafe Vagina?
It looks like the letters, if you rearrange them just slightly, would spell Cafe Vagina. But it's actually Cafe Vachman.
Oh. Yeah.
We haven't been there, but we're going to go there soon, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like a really good place for like old-fashioned Icelandic food.
Okay.
And sort of maybe kid-friendly. Like fish balls, plokkfiskur,
okay.
that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Which, I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's maybe missing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, I don't eat most of the food, so it's not like I keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
But I haven't really been places where that's on offer.
I don't know if like the idea of Icelandic soul food exists.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like if it did exist, this might mm-hmm. be where that kind of thing would happen.
Icelandic comfort food.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
comfort food.
Makes me feel like home.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me some mashed up fish and potatoes.
Well, Gisli's mom, she was a cook for a long time for the schools, and she cooks a lot of times that kind of food.
Mm-hmm.
Like sort of the old fashioned comfort
yeah.
food.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only place I see it is at the kindergarten.
Yeah.
That's where I find that kind of food.
Yeah. I think you can also go to this place, Cafe Vagina. It's like going back to the womb.
Oh my God. Let me back in.
We've never actually been, so I can't really talk about that much. But all that's on Grande.
Oh,
we had some friends here who were looking for like a good a souvenir. Like something to bring back from their trip to Iceland.
That's not like a puffin or a troll or a giant.
Well, there's just so many of these like mass-produced souvenir shops.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of depressing, actually, because they take up so much retail space.
And they really do. And they take business away from, like, real Icelandic creators.
Yeah.
Like, people that are creating things and designing things and making things.
Yeah.
And they can't get, like...
traction, because you can always buy a $40 puffin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were looking at secondhand places, and the place that we ended up going were the big flea market, Koroporte,
mm-hmm.
which is only one of the weekends.
Yeah.
I wish they were open all week, and I think there might be some interest to do that. So I think they might end up opening all week long.
Really?
Yeah, there's lots there that's just terrible.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like any like flea market type situation. You have your people that just bring that, like, go out and collect just crap
yeah.
and then try and sell it to you.
Well, there's also, I feel like there's a lot of like fell off the back of the truck sort of like.
Yeah, definitely. But there are also people who sell, like, quality stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
and
nice stuff.
And there are also creators there. Like,
mm-hmm.
people do jewelry and
yeah,
stuff
craftsmen,
like that.
Craftswomen,
yeah.
crafts
like
people.
A varying, like, skill.
Yeah. But, you know, it's Iceland.
Yeah. And then we ended up going to a bookstore on Kvartskata,
mm-hmm.
which is stuffed. Do you remember the bookstore?
It's like the Strand, but, like, tiny.
This is what it reminded me of. Do you remember the bookstore where Bastion finds
the
Never Ending Story?
Yes, yes.
And the, like, the old geezer who, like,
mm-hmm.
runs it?
He's smoking his pipe.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're called books.
Yeah.
They don't beep.
I feel like that guy is currently working now. And he's speaking Icelandic. I went to go get some kids' books for Astrid because I love getting kids' books from, like, the 70s. I like the
mm-hmm.
androgynous, brightly colored kids.
Yeah.
And they're hard to find. So I got a couple, three books there. And he charged me 500 kroner for all three books.
Really?
And I was like, sir.
Sir. There's a mistake here.
You can't keep your business running this way.
No.
Because I took a long time to go through his books, and I was the only one who made a purchase there for like an hour.
Wow.
And it was prime shopping time.
Yeah.
He made it there all 500 kroner. Anyway, I don't know how that place stays open. Catch it while you can. But it's like on Klapperstig and Klapperstig, yep. I think.
Right on the corner.
They got old magazines. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fun place to sort of get lost.
It's a place you got to go, and not because you have a particular book in mind that you want to get right now.
Open-minded.
It's a bookstore to go to and to hang out and just peruse all the dusty books.
Yeah. Now, another place that you can go, which is the opposite of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
It's super crowded all the time. It's go the hit of it.
Yeah.
It's like the Goodwill of Iceland.
Yeah.
Because
everything is so expensive in Iceland, people go there, they're like, I need some furniture, I'm going there.
I'm surprised there's not more shops like that, actually. The fact that this is the only one.
It's surprising. Sort
of, yeah, amazes me. But I guess people don't give away that much. Maybe they do. Hmm. I feel like people don't give away to, like, sell. Or, like, when they're with some of their family. Maybe.
That's true.
But, big turnover there. They also know they have some like nice stuff there, and they'll mark it up pretty high.
Yeah.
So don't expect to get a deal, but you can definitely get some like authentic Icelandic Icelandica.
There. Yeah, you can. Totally.
The last place, and one of my favorite places, is this place that never seems to be open.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Skolavørstigur, so it's right downtown.
Yes, I know what we're talking about, because I often think of, you know, popping in there,
yeah.
And it's always closed when the inclination hits me.
One of these days,
I'm going to go inside.
Because the shop is, like, directly between you and me.
Yeah.
We're going to meet there one day.
And be like,
here
it's
are.
Open.
It's called Antikhuset, the antique house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this great Icelandic movie called A Woman at War.
Yes, that's immediately what came to mind, because she goes into that store, and I was like, oh my God, she's inside that store.
She goes in there and she steals
a typewriter
that she uses to write a ransom note later on. People, if you haven't seen this film,
it's really
it's the best. It doesn't get any better than this.
And I don't generally gush about films, but this,
I don't
was,
either.
This one
especially
was very
not
well
Icelandic
done.
Films.
It was very well done.
Yeah, funny, like deeply, deeply funny and just heartbreaking
and timely.
Yeah, timely, empowering, and somehow like life.
Say the name of the film again so the people know. Woman at War. And
yeah,
the Icelandic, it is...
Konan Ferry Street.
Okay. Go see it.
It's either Konan Ferry Street. No, I think it's just called Konan Ferry Street.
Yeah.
Konan Ferry Street. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
I think so.
One of those two. Halldóra Geirharðsdóttir plays the lead in it. And she's great.
She's very good.
Anyway, she goes to Antikhuset while she is...
At war.
That's right. So we are going to be traveling and...
Oh, yeah. I'm going to...
Having friends in town.
I think I'm going to... I might have some tales from the family.
Yeah.
Traveling around.
We're just going to be at home nursing our Frankendog.
Oh, poor
guy.
Who
had all of his lumpies removed. So I can tell you guys about my dog's lumps.
Yeah. His doggy lumps.
I'm bringing a full circle this time. Yeah, but hopefully we'll have some good stuff to talk about next time.
Yeah. On the raisin at the hot dog stand.
Bless y'all.
Bless y'all.